Servus and greetings from Vienna. My name is Anita Posch. Thank you for listening to Bitcoin und Co., my podcast that's introducing the philosophy, ideas and people behind Bitcoin. Bitcoin in Africa, the Ubuntu way. Part 6, Ala Kanani Itireleng, fighting scams and preaching Bitcoin in Southern Africa since 2013. Hello and thanks for tuning in to the sixth and last part of my African special. In this episode, I talk with Ala Kanani Itireleng, who founded the Satoshi Center in Botswana in 2014 and single-handedly built a growing Bitcoin community. She is the heart and the center of all Bitcoin education there. Even the government is relying on her consultancy. We recorded this interview in February 2020, only days before the COVID-19 lockdowns went into effect. Her greatest ambition, the organization of a Bitcoin conference in Southern Africa, will not come true soon. If you like to support her work and the Satoshi Center, please do so. Her Twitter handle is @BitcoinLady. If you have a question about the podcast or Bitcoin, feel free to visit the episode page at bitcoinandco.com/en/Africa6. There you will find an audio recorder to record your question. If you want to learn more about Bitcoin, start with my Bitcoin Basics talk that I held in Zimbabwe and Botswana on my YouTube channel. It's at youtube.com/Anita Posch. Before we start, I want to thank my sponsors. This podcast special and my trip to Africa would not have been possible without my sponsors and supporters. I want to thank my sponsors first. LocalBitcoins.com, the person-to-person Bitcoin exchange site founded in 2012. LocalBitcoins allows you to trade directly with another person. This makes the process customizable, lean and fast, as there is no corporate overhead. You can get your bitcoins instantly. For every trade, localbitcoins.com offers escrow protection to ensure the bitcoins and both traders are safe. Thanks to Shift Crypto Security, manufacturer of the hardware wallet BitBox O2, to Peter McCormick and the What Bitcoin Did podcast, to Coinfinity, manufacturer of the card wallet, and many thanks to several unknown private donors who sent me Satoshis over the Lightning Network. This special is edited by CoinDesk's podcast editor Adam B. Levine and published first on the CoinDesk podcast network. Thank you very much for supporting the Bitcoin in Africa series with your work. Thank you also to GoTenna for donating several GoTenna devices to set up a mesh network in Zimbabwe. To Stackwork.com, the place to earn Bitcoin over the Lightning Network. And to Team Satoshi, the decentralized sports team, for supporting my work. This special is also brought to you by the Let's Talk Bitcoin Network. If you like my work and the Bitcoin & Co. podcast, please take a minute to share it with your friends on social media and subscribe to the feed in your podcast player. You'll find the subscription links at bitcoinandco.com/en/subscribe. Hello, Ala Kanani.
Hi.
I'm happy that I'm here. Finally, I found my way from Europe to Botswana. Thanks for the invitation. We're just setting up a Bitcoin and Lightning node. How and when did you find out about Bitcoin?
Okay, my journey with Bitcoin started in 2012 on a personal level when I started trying to find ways in which I can like make money online to help my son. That's my son right on the wall. Yeah, he was sick. He was having hypertrophic obstructive cardiomyopathy, which is like a heart disease kind of. So he got like really, really sick and he was having an issue with the lungs and all that. So I wanted to find ways in which I can like work and get extra money to take him out of Botswana to get medical help. So that's when I came across this Bitcoin thing in 2012. And that was like early 2012, maybe January or so. because I know a few months later my son passed away. So, and then I stopped doing Bitcoin.
You had enough stress.
Enough stress and stuff. So I paused the Bitcoin thing. And then in 2013, I was like, you know, there's something about that thing that I learned. So I should like go back to it and study it a little bit more and see how I can help other people. At that moment, the idea was to set up a nonprofit to help kids who are like my kid. So I went back and I started like doing a lot of reading. I wasn't like very, very good at understanding what it was, but I had that drive to set up a community. So I remember I had like 10 friends or so, and I called a meetup, my first Bitcoin meetup in 2013.
Wow, in 2013. Cool.
Yeah. So, and then I called my friends and I taught them the little knowledge that I had about Bitcoin. And I told them there are possibilities in Bitcoin about, you know, you making your own money and stuff, and the value being better than the pooler. You know, it was all about that.
Did people here understand it and follow your path from the beginning on? Or did they say, I don't understand it?
You know, a lot of people have got issues with anything that has to do with the internet. You know, a lot of people have got issues. You know, anything that has to do with the internet is a scam, or it's there to steal their money, or it's white people's problem.
White people's problem.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything with the internet.
Yeah, a lot of people have that mentality. We say kidilotsa makhoa, meaning it's white people's issues, kind of. It's white people's thing.
Internet.
Yeah. In the beginning, yeah, people had that kind of thing. When I'm using internet, kidilotsa makhoa. Yeah, there's a things for the white people. So when you introduce something like Bitcoin, so it was kind of difficult in the beginning. People did not understand what I was on about. How can there be money that can be on the internet? And stuff like that. They're used to paper money and all that. So I have to like do a lot of reading, because in the beginning it was so tough. I didn't have all the answers. I'm not saying I have all the answers now, but I'm better.
Nobody has all the answers.
But I'm better. So at that moment I didn't have like all the answers, like a lot of answers. So I had to like go through a lot of reading so that I can empower the people that are following me. So that's how it started.
Can we get a little back to the general situation here in Botswana? I've been to Zimbabwe in the last 2.5 weeks, and the situation there is really, really bad with the economic situation, and people are lining in for petrol for hours, for nights. They are waiting for their fuel and then they don't get it. Maybe people have nothing to eat, no work. How is the situation in Botswana?
I wouldn't say we are bad. No. People can still go to the bank and get money. People can still get petrol. The only thing is now unemployment rate is high. I think it's at about 18.97%, around 20%, and it's growing. It's growing, like, you know, that is like the statistics for 2019, I think. And we have a lot of graduates who are graduating every year from the universities. So it keeps on piling and adding, because we've got universities, we've got colleges, we've got all that, where students are graduating every year.
Is this a free education here?
Yes. So you get kind of, it's kind of a student loan, or kind of we create a loan or a grant. The government pays for you, and then when you're done with schooling, you have to like pay back the money.
But if you don't have a job, then?
If you don't have a job, then you don't pay. And no, nobody has been arrested yet. Yeah, so that kind of situation is the issue of jobs. You know, like there's so many people who are roaming the street with no jobs. I remember, I think it was 2019, if it's not 2018, when some graduates, you know, they went on a peaceful demonstration, or as whatever they called the riot or whatever, then because they were beaten for that. So they were beaten by the police. They were not allowed to demonstrate. So you could see it's because people were crying, like, we have graduated, where do we go from here? So there are no jobs. Yeah, that's the big, I think that's the big challenge we are having right now in Botswana. Every year we are piling maybe 5,000 or more graduates on IT field, for example. Like 5,000 or more. But think of others also who are not IT. How many do we have every year who are graduating and no jobs?
Can you get anything in the supermarkets? And then the other question is, can people afford it?
Yeah, I mean, like, we've got shops of different standards. Yeah, we've got like expensive shops like Woolworths, you know, who's will go there to go and buy stuff. And then we've got, you know, middle class kind of shops. And then we've got like lower class kind of shops.
But are there many people that are suffering from hunger, really? Like in Zimbabwe, I think
Yeah, definitely there are. That's why we have like social workers. So what happens is we have got kind of poverty eradication schemes and we've got and stuff. Like, for example, if there's an orphan is given a card, there's a card which you can use. They put money in it and then they can like $80 or $90 or so. So then they can go and get food. Even they also destitute program kind of. Yeah, they can give a register as destitute and the government can be giving them money on monthly basis for basics.
And do you think that the pessimism against the internet or that you could earn money over the internet, is this going away or is this, I mean, with the young people coming out of university?
Yeah, young people are changing the whole dynamics. They're changing the whole culture. They're not stubborn. They're open to possibilities and different cultures, different opinions. They're not like our parents who were like, you don't do this, you don't go there, you don't go there. So nowadays, you know, in towns, for example, that's where like we have got a lot of young people in towns. So that's where you see that dynamics have changed. We've got people using so many smartphones, laptops, you know.
How good is the internet connection here and how much do you have to pay for it?
I think my internet is not that good. Compared to like when I was in Kenya, I could see how quick it was. When you're in South Africa, it's quick, but I hear it's expensive. So, but here, I think our internet is not that good. Like the one that I'm using, it's not that good. And also, I think it's expensive.
How much do you pay for a month?
Mine is like 2 MB. So, but it's never 2 MB. Yeah, the bandwidth. It's always 1 point something. So I pay, yeah, it's very slow. So I pay like $40.
40 USD?
Yeah, a month. It's unlimited, but very slow. It's expensive. Yeah. So if you need good one, you'll have to pay like $150.
And on the smartphone?
Data.
Do you also have these social media bundles?
Yes, we do have.
So people might only have a WhatsApp bundle?
They may have WhatsApp and Facebook bundles, called social media bundles, and then they can have the full one. So for example, with the network that I'm using called Orange, they will give you for a day, one day, internet or so, you will pay like $1 for a day. So, and then it, after a day, it expires.
How could people use Bitcoin here when the internet connections are so expensive? Do you have an idea?
If, for example, they can use the internet that they're using, the small internet they're using, to earn Bitcoins, for example, then they can be able to pay for their internet and then use Bitcoin. People still pay even if it's expensive. They pay it to download movies, to stream videos, which actually is not giving them any money. It's making them to lose more money. So if to use my internet, my data, why not use it to earn Bitcoin so that I can pay for my data and earn more Bitcoins?
So what are the properties about Bitcoin that interest you the most?
I mean, like, it's easy to send money, to receive money from anywhere, no restrictions. Like PayPal will have restrictions for other countries. I think Nigerians are not using PayPal. So Bitcoin is allowing me to use and receive money from anyone and send it to anyone around the world without discriminating. So that's the most excellent thing about Bitcoin. So it's for everyone. It's a money for everyone, regardless of where you're coming from, your race, your creed, or whatever. So it's like, yeah, it's the best.
And do you think that the people here can connect with that and realize that, or do they still think it's a white internet thing?
No, I think nowadays young people especially are like into it. Some for whatever reasons, like for example, some they're doing it because they've joined some scheme or whatever. Somebody has promised them you can make money very quick. If you put $10 today, tomorrow you'll have $20,000, they believe. And some they're using it for that. But young people are like really embracing them. Like, I believe when you come to my meetup tomorrow, you're going to see a lot of young people. They're the ones who are like there, like a lot of them who are like there. So who are like, they are into the internet, they are into trying to find ways in which to make money because they're unemployed. It's painful to be unemployed. That's what, you know, you will see like a lot of young people embracing the internet. It's not a white people thing. Now they, yeah. I think also the government is trying, for example, to introduce computers in primary school level. So we see the introduction of computers slowly by giving students tablets. Eventually people will understand, will know. The generation that is coming is going to be better than the one that is before us. Yeah.
You just mentioned the government. How is regulation here with Bitcoin?
Quiet.
There is nothing.
Nothing. Last year in November, we were called as so that's like some kind of consultative meeting. So we went there at Satoshi Center and they were asking us a lot of questions. So we told them. So they said, no, we want to know what is happening so that if there is anything that we need to know, you need to like tell us what is happening. So for me, I think they were like, they're open, even though they're still like not yet there, but they're open for discussions. So I think if there is, it's just up to us to like make sure that we keep on showing them what is happening in Bitcoin and whatnot. You can even see there's a Bitcoin ATM in Khabaroni at Airport Junction.
Really?
Yeah, there's a Bitcoin ATM. So it's there, it's been used. Yeah, as long as you just go and declare what you are doing. I think that's what they want you to declare what you are doing. I think even when it comes to the issues of tax, you can still pay your taxes. Yeah.
I mean, you only have to cash out in Pula then and pay the taxes.
Then pay the taxes, yeah. So I think they are open for that. They haven't like shown any resistance for us. They're only against the Ponzi schemes.
Yeah, because I think the Golix exchange in Zimbabwe has been shut down, maybe because of the many Ponzi schemes and MLM things, because people were ripped off their Bitcoin and they bought Bitcoin on Golix. Was that the reason? Do you know something?
I don't really know what was the issue with Golix, because it was one of the best exchanges in Zimbabwe. I even went there. I saw their Bitcoin ATM. It was beautiful. It was beautiful Bitcoin ATM. They were doing good. So I don't know. Maybe it's because people now, they don't know how to differentiate between what Bitcoin is and what Ponzi schemes are. Like somebody can call and say, hey, I want to join Bitcoin. You can see even the way they
join Bitcoin
thing. You will say, nah. Then you see people are still confused. They don't know. Is Bitcoin something that you can join? How can you say, I want to join dollar?
Yeah. Thank you. What do you think are the hurdles here in Botswana for Bitcoin adoption?
Ponzi schemes, they are really disturbing us. They are disturbing us, you know, because it gets so confusing. Like some people will even call me and say, hello, is that Satoshi Center? I'm like, yeah. They're like, okay, I'm joining this, whatever. Can you help me? I'm saying like, nope, I can't help you. But they say, no, but I heard you are the Bitcoin person here. I think that's the thing that is this, you know, making it so hard, because now people know that there's Satoshi Center for Bitcoin. So now people who are joining whatever, they think because Satoshi Center is Bitcoin, it means Satoshi Center is what they are doing. Yeah. So we have to like have like a lot of work to like tell people that there is Satoshi Center, Bitcoin, and then there is those things that they are doing, which are like a totally different thing. So I think that's the greatest hurdle. People should understand what Bitcoin is, what the opportunities are, and avoid Ponzi schemes. I know people like they want money. I mean, if I would have joined the schemes, I could be rich. I'm telling you, because everybody who comes with a scheme, they start calling me first because they go on internet, Bitcoin, they get me, they get my name and they call me.
Yeah, and in a Ponzi or in a pyramid, if you're the first one, then you're good off.
I didn't do it. So I decided like I have to focus on what is true. So the one thing that is like really disturbing is that. I one of the things that I really want to do is one that I've been trying and trying, but it's so hard to get sponsorship. Number one, I wanted to do a hackathon. That's my first thing that I wanted to do, create a hackathon. So, but people were like, I wasn't getting like good responses in terms of sponsorship for me to be able to like pay for the venue, because it's expensive for the venue. The one that I wanted to use was like very expensive. I didn't have the money for the venue. I only got somebody who was going to sponsor the winners. Then there was no point for me to like do a meetup where I don't even have a venue. I don't have the resources, you know, to be able to carry that hackathon. The whole idea for my hackathon was for people now and the young people, especially who are my target, to understand Bitcoin more by becoming hands-on. And then the other thing that I've been like wishing to do so much was to have a Bitcoin conference where I can call anybody, everybody, even those in government, to come and attend the conference. I think if I can be able to do those two things, I'm telling you, people will have like a switch. Because meetups, they come, we chat, we go, and then we meet again in another meetup, you know. But if we can, and it's, sometimes it's always the same people who are coming and very few new who are coming. But imagine a big Bitcoin conference where we're calling people like you guys from Austria, we call you, you come, different people come, and then we teach people, the government. Because those are the people that we really have to like reach. So if I can be able to do that, then I know there's going to be a shift. But it has been so tough. I've been trying.
So what was the problem then? The companies from like outside of Botswana that don't sponsor you?
Or? They haven't like responded. I've been writing, but people are not responding. Even if a conference is coming by someone from outside, I'll still like embrace it. If let's say, for example, blockchain Bitcoin Foundation Austria, they want to do a Bitcoin meet the conference in Botswana, I will embrace it. Because what I want is for the information to reach the people that I want it to reach. If the Bitcoin Foundation in Austria have got sponsors, sponsors and honor that they can sponsor the conference in Botswana, we can set it up.
How do people here in Botswana get Bitcoin?
I think number one is because of the schemes that they join. And then there are those who are working online. And then there are those who are doing Forex trading. Yeah, they're traders. I know there are a group of young traders called, there's a company called AfriDead. So AfriDead, they do Forex trading and crypto trading. So there's like a bunch of guys who are doing into trading, and that those who are into sports betting, they're doing crypto, because there's a company called Play Better, which they're doing betting, sports betting and live sports betting. So I introduced the company in Botswana, and we've got people who are also betting. I think
they should hold Bitcoin instead.
Yeah, so they should bet responsibly and also hold Bitcoins. And yeah, I think it's that online work, Ponzi schemes, of course. Yeah.
How do people install their wallets, and then how do they exchange Pula to Bitcoin or something?
A lot of them, they're using mobile, what do you call, the downloads, the one that they download on their phones. And one thing that I have realized is I was interacting with a lot of people, like maybe they'll be calling me to say they're looking for Bitcoins. And a lot of them, they don't have recovery phrases for their wallets.
Wow. So they don't do backups.
So I'll have to, like, when I call them, I say, like, before I send you money, is your wallet backed up? Mm-hmm. They'll be like, what is that?
Oh.
Then they have to like take them through the process of backing up their wallet so that your money is safe and all that and all that. So that's why we need a conference. So people can hold their Bitcoins and still be safe, because some, they have lost their wallet. I remember there was a lady who called me and said he lost his wallet. Can he recover it with a password? I said, no, unless you have done the Bitcoin backup. But what is that? You see, the problem with the Ponzi schemes is they'll make you to download your wallet very quick. No information whatsoever. You don't understand what is happening. And you don't even have your recovery. You don't have your seed. You don't have nothing. So you lose your money. You lose your, once you lose your phone, you lose your money and all that. So that's one thing. Yeah. So most of them, they hold it on their phones or on their web wallets.
Oh, that's really criminal.
Yeah.
I mean, really. Yeah. I mean, that those Ponzi schemes.
Yeah, they are. I don't like them.
I mean, they have no interest in educating people, of course.
I don't like them. Some, they pretend to be educating. There are those who be saying, when they advertise their whatever, they'll be like, come and learn about blockchain.
Yeah, blockchain.
Like, I mean, like, nah. Uh-huh. You're not teaching people anything. You say, come learn about blockchain. And then after they have learned, you say, give us $50 or whatever to join our scheme. So at the end of the day.
How many people are coming to your meetups?
At those moments, we'll be having close to 100. Then at those moments, you have got 20. Mm-hmm. I never have less than 20. Yeah.
And yesterday you told me that you've been to many African countries and doing meetups. Where and when was that happening?
Kenya so many times.
Kenya?
Yeah, I've been, Kenya is like my second home. So Kenya so many times. And I've been to Uganda to teach. I've been to Zimbabwe to teach. I've been to South Africa to teach. So those are like my countries where I've been there to like teach.
Brilliant.
Yeah. So, and I've been invited to other countries. Some I failed to go, you know, yeah, but I've been invited in so many. I think I've become like this African Bitcoin person. So, yeah, I love it. I mean, I love teaching to empowering people. If I can do that all my life, it will be, and protect people from Ponzi schemes, I'll be so happy.
Which countries in Africa do you think are the most forward in Bitcoin education and using Bitcoin and people who are in this space?
South Africa, Nigeria, Ghana. They're the top three. They're at the forefront of this. They're like, I mean, like when I say, I mean, like we see a lot of development coming in. You know, people, we've got wallets. People are doing wallets for this and that. It's development. You know, you see that they're doing something. They've understood. You know, they're looking for solutions, you know, and all that. So you can tell by what is happening there. Yeah. And you can tell also by a lot of people being interested in going to those countries than other countries.
What do you think, which things have to be in place that countries or people in different countries see the positive sides of Bitcoin and want to adopt it? You know, you just said South Africa, Ghana and Nigeria.
I mean, like sending money, remittance. Oh. Yeah. sending money. I mean, we have to like find a lot of fintech solutions on Bitcoin. We should be able to see that. It shows that people are really embracing that, you know, having businesses that are focusing on Bitcoin, having education centers which are established. Like in Botswana, we're not established. We're struggling, I mean, to establish ourselves because there is no, people are looking at maybe the population, maybe. The population of Ghana is good. They can be able to sponsor, you know, certain businesses. We only have 2.4 million. It's a small market for a lot of people. So people, the market is not...
But Bitcoin is a global market, so actually it should also work.
Yeah, here. But at the end of the day, you know, it's what drives people to go to people is money. You know,
to so profit somewhere.
Profit somewhere. So some countries are not that much profitable for people, mm-hmm. you know. Yeah.
So a little bit left out.
Even if you try, you know, you still get a little bit left out.
Mm.
Like I was giving an example of how much I was struggling with the hackathon. And I pushed it to August with the hope that maybe some people will come in and help. I'm still waiting to see. But if I was to say the same in Nigeria or in South Africa, it would be so fast because the population is good. So here the population is so small. So it's kind of a struggle.
And now a short word from my sponsors. Not your keys, not your coins. Be the holder of your keys for your Bitcoin. For that, use a well-built hardware wallet like the Bitbox O2 by Shift Crypto Security from Switzerland. With their upcoming app for Android, you can connect the hardware wallet directly with your phone and send and receive Bitcoin on the go. Check it out at shiftcrypto.ch. That's shift, CRYPTO.ch. You get free shipping with the code ANITA. As I said before, not your keys, not your coins. The industry standard is to use a hardware wallet. But if, for various reasons, you cannot use a hardware wallet to secure your Bitcoin, then the card wallet is the solution to store your Bitcoin keys. No software updates needed, it's 100% offline, and it leaves no traces on the blockchain. So you can give it away as a gift or inheritance. You can send Bitcoin to it, and all you have to do is to store it in a safe place. The manufacturers are the Austrian State Printing House and Coinfinity, Austria's first Bitcoin broker. Order your card wallet at cardwallet.com/Anita and get 20% off the price. So since you're in to Bitcoin since 2012, 2013, you've seen a lot of development around it, like other hard forks, other cryptocurrencies and such. Are you still a Bitcoiner?
Or? Yeah. Bitcoin is king. Bitcoin is king. No matter what I can develop or whatever, like solution that can come. To me, Bitcoin is king. I don't think there is such brilliance as you can be seen in Bitcoin. You know, Bitcoin is brilliant thinking. You know, the whole ecosystem on Bitcoin, the whole, if you read the white paper, it has got a lot of brilliant ideas, you know. Eliminating third parties, the miners, you know, the way it has been done. Everything is so systematic and it's so beautiful. It's so beautiful done. So I still believe Bitcoin is king. There might be maybe in the future other developments that will come, but Bitcoin will still remain king. Yes. It's the foundation of everything. Okay, you can beat your mom in terms of knowledge, but she's still your mom.
That's a nice comparison, yeah.
Yeah, she's still your mom. I mean, like you have got good knowledge, maybe you're more advanced than she is, but at the end of the day, you have a problem, you go to your mom.
Do you see any usability or accessibility problems here or hurdles for Bitcoin in the African countries?
Yeah, a lot of issues of power cuts.
So that you couldn't use Bitcoin because you don't have electricity on your phone. And the same with internet, I guess.
And same with internet because it's expensive. So I think if you can put more money into making accessibility easier, and making it easy for people in Africa to have resources like electricity. We've got sun, a lot of sun, you know. So if you can use it and find a way in which you can use the electricity to, you know, the sun to convert it into electricity and so that people can have access to electricity 24/7 will be better. And also to make our internet cheap. Yeah, it's expensive.
That are exterior factors that, yeah, that Bitcoin cannot change in a way.
Yeah.
But like using wallets or stuff like that, maybe there should be a way to use Bitcoin in WhatsApp or in Telegram, maybe, because the people have those bundles.
As long as those applications are decentralized and they don't have, you know, if they still like person at the end controlling WhatsApp and whatnot, how do we trust? You know, with Bitcoin is don't trust but verify. So if So we are not sure if you will be safe to use it.
What do you think about Facebook's Libra?
It's another, for me, it's another Ripple.
But I think many people will use it because they don't realize what the differences between Ripple or Libra or Bitcoin are, huh?
I think, yeah, I think that's the thing that they don't understand. For me, of course, maybe it and at the same time, it'll also be like, I remember the words for, it's Max Kaiser. I think he's the one who says it's Bitcoin's little bitch. Sorry for the word. But yeah, it will help even Bitcoin to be even adopted even more.
Ah, okay.
It's because it authenticates Bitcoin. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it's another Ripple.
What is the latest development in Bitcoin that got you interested in say, yeah, that's a great development?
Lightning.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think if we can if it can grow and develop more, it's going to help with all those issues that Bitcoins have, scalability issues of like sending even small micro payments, making everybody everywhere to use it for whatever that they want. I mean, it's making Bitcoin easy to use. So I think Lightning, I still believe there might be even more improvements on the Lightning that we don't know. In my mind, I keep on thinking it's going to even improve more. It has got maybe its own issues, I don't know. But I'm telling you, Lightning is going to make Bitcoin beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's my thought anyway. Yeah, I like it though.
Do you see, I mean, besides of you, people here using Bitcoin or Lightning?
Bitcoin on Lightning. Yes, it will have to like teach people. People have to be taught. Like, for example, I was able to go to a doctor and convince him to accept Bitcoin in his clinic. So if I can be able to do that, if I can be able to like go anywhere and educate people, I think we'll see people, you know, having those Lightning notes, you know, to make them making their own payment channels and stuff, you know, mm-hmm. we
your web shops.
Yeah. If I can have workshops on that, not only where I am, like right now, if you can follow my meetups and that, they're based only here in Gaborone because I don't have the resources to be able to travel. My dream is to travel the whole of Botswana and cover the whole of Botswana, every little single place. And if I can have like Lightning nodes in every single place set, that will make me feel like I've achieved. You know, I've achieved. And like I was telling someone that if I can have someone who's like me in Botswana also, it will make me feel like, yeah, I've done my work really good.
Super.
Yeah. So I'm still, if I can find that sponsor that says, hey, travel the whole of Botswana and do what you have to do, I will gladly do it. Yeah.
I brought a Raspberry Blitz with me. My sponsors were so kind to pay for it. So we just tried to download the blockchain. Is this then the first one in Botswana?
We had the Casa nodes, which were set up at the Satoshi Center. These are the Lightning nodes. But with this one of this kind is the first one. Yeah. And I love the way it is, like it's built beautifully. And I like it that it's sinking quick. So I can see it's already sinking. It was at 99%. So it's already sinking. It didn't take a day or two. I think having things like this, like Lightning nodes, Bitcoin nodes, not only in Gaborone, all over Botswana. I mean, it will make the whole sense. It will make people to be interested. They want to see such things.
And people are their own banks then.
And they are their own banks. Yeah. So maybe one day I'll be able to have the tour, Botswana tour. Yeah, I want to do that, to go around Botswana and set up such things, nodes and all that. You can see I still have my Lightning nodes. Some of them are not, are still in the box. So I haven't like used them. So I want to set them somewhere, you know, where people can like embrace them and use them. Yeah.
If there is somebody in Botswana who doesn't know you yet, or you don't know him or her yet, and he's interested in setting up a node,
I'm ready. I mean, like, I'm here for them. I mean, I'm like a Bitcoin preacher. The information that I'm learning is not for me, but it's for people. It's, you know, so I want to. They should not be afraid to contact me, and I'm easy. I talk a lot, So
what would you like to tell the world about Bitcoin or Botswana, or how we could support you?
I mean, I've been here faithful lover of Bitcoin for so many years. I mean, I remain faithful to my calling in Bitcoin, but I want to have talks with people around the world and share mentors around Botswana and share the people's thoughts, the people's beliefs on Bitcoin. And I want people to be able to also know Bitcoin in depth, and not schemes, not Ponzi schemes, not whatnot. I want people to be able to have the knowledge and be able to use it and to see the beauty of Bitcoin. And I can only do that if I'm able to get out of Gaborone and go to the whole of Botswana. And I want to do that. I even have a plan in one of my laptops where I have drawn that I want to go to this place, to this place, to this place, to this place. And all I needed was brochures. If somebody somewhere there in globally have got brochures, I can share with people. I can be sharing those brochures. I can be doing more activation exercises for people who don't have Wi-Fi. We can be giving them paper wallets and teach them how to use them. You know, there's still a lot that I need to do.
Yeah, I mean, you. I think you also need devices and stuff.
Yes,
I mean,
devices and stuff, yeah.
Nobody has hardware wallets here or something like that, huh?
Yeah, a lot of people don't have. Yeah, I remember when I was so excited when I bought a Trezor in the US.
I can imagine that, yeah.
I was excited, so I brought a Trezor when I was in the US.
I hope tomorrow when we have the Bitcoin meetup and we will give away the Shift Bitboxes, and also I've got some card wallets here.
I think they'll be stoked. They'll be so excited. They'll be so excited, yeah.
Is there something like EcoCash or M-Pesa here?
Mobile money. Yeah, we've got Orange Money, and then we've got MyZaka. Yeah, so there are different mobile companies that are providing mobile money solutions. Like Orange is providing Orange Money, Mascom is providing MyZaka, and then there's B-Mobile. I forgot what it's called. They have got their own mobile money kind of, but it's not as huge as M-Pesa. Yeah. M-Pesa is big. You go to the shops, you can just pay with M-Pesa and all that. Yeah, but with Orange also they're trying. You can buy your electricity with the Orange money. You can go and they've got even a card, that card. Yeah, a Visa card where you can go and just swipe your food and whatnot with the mobile money.
And all those food stands.
Oh, you pay with
the little shops. The little shops.
Oh, they're the ones that are outside. You pay with paper money.
Yeah, because in Zimbabwe, you pay also with EcoCash.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah, because you also only need an old smartphone or a Nokia one, these older phones.
Yeah.
And you don't have to pay for the internet usage or something. You only have to have a SIM card.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then you can pay.
Yeah, even here you can use your Orange money to pay for your electricity, for example, even to pay for your data and stuff. But for those small businesses, they haven't yet embraced the culture of the people coming with Orange money and using it. So maybe the mobile money market can improve in Botswana. People start using QR codes. You just have to just scan a code and you pay. Then, yeah, maybe there'll be a lot of adoption of mobile money. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe they leapfrog and use Bitcoin.
yeah, that would be so cool. Yeah, yeah, because
we will see.
Yeah, I think that will be so cool.
How do you see the future of Bitcoin in Botswana?
I think it's going to be big. For me, somehow in my head, I believe so much. This is the original home of the honey badger.
Talk about that. The honey badger is from here?
Yeah, we've got honey badgers, So, I mean, I do believe so much. Young people are going to be the agents of change. That's why I'm targeting them so much. So that if they can understand and run with this vision, we're going to be able to use Bitcoin a lot. We're already using it, So we just need to have more places using Bitcoin. Not only one doctor. We need more businesses using Bitcoin. We've got people from Zimbabwe here who are buying Bitcoin to send home. So you can see it's already there. It might not be a formal market. That informal market exists. So we just need to make everything now formal.
Do you have exchanges here that you use, online exchanges?
No, peer-to-peer.
peer-to-peer, but do you use like something like local Bitcoins?
No, they've closed us. The local Bitcoin closed us. They were one of the countries that were removed from local
Botswana. Bitcoin.
Yeah, really? I never understood why, because Botswana is so cool.
That's interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah, we're one of the countries which were listed on local Bitcoins. So,
can you buy, for instance, on Kraken or any of the other Bitstamp?
I think Paxful, I think, yeah.
Paxful.
Yeah, so, but normally here, people just call us. Like yesterday, I was receiving a lot of calls when I was with you. People were looking for Bitcoins. So I received like a lot of calls, people were looking for Bitcoins. And then I will have to like connect them with somebody in the US to send me Bitcoins.
And you got everything in your head?
Yeah.
All the connections?
Yeah.
Because I think, do you have like WhatsApp groups or Telegram groups where the people connect, the peer-to-peer people who want to exchange?
No, we don't. We haven't like formed the peer-to-peer WhatsApp group. Just the Satoshi Center has been the center where people just call the center and say, hey.
You're connecting everybody.
Yeah, and then I'm connecting everybody. I never thought of doing a WhatsApp group because people tend to take people's numbers and use them for own things.
Yeah.
So I always like
to try. That's why I prefer Telegram, because you do not have to show your number.
Yeah, maybe Telegram. If maybe we can introduce the culture of Telegram, because here it's a lot of WhatsApp and Facebook.
Yeah, which is bad anyhow, because everything is centralized at Facebook.
Yeah, so and I don't like WhatsApp groups, because people take your number and then the next thing you'll be called by someone from wherever is starting, you know, selling you some 409 scams and stuff. So I don't like that.
I think that was a nice interview. I hope you think so too. Is there anything we left out to say?
No, I think we want to build. I mean, like, for me, I just want people to understand that I want to build. I want to build the Bitcoin economy. If I have to go down in history, I have to go down in history as one of the people who are like faithfully educating people about Bitcoin without wavering. So it's my passion and I want to push it. But sometimes it's hard because I'm broke, because I don't have the money. I'm not yet rich. So I want to help people get into the Bitcoin ecosystem and set the ecosystem to make it like work for Africa, not only for Botswana, to make it work for Africa. You know, we are the very people that need Bitcoin.
Yeah.
We are the people.
I think so too.
Yeah, we are.
But actually, this is the place where it's needed the most.
This is the place where it is needed the most. Like, I was shocked when I was in the US in Orange County. I saw a drive-through bank. I was like, what? You guys have got drive-through banks. You don't need Bitcoins. So we need Bitcoin. We don't own anything anyway. So yeah, we can. The only thing that we can own and feel it's ours is Bitcoin.
Since you're in since 2013, how did this change to now? Like the adoption here or the interest of people?
Yeah, now people know Bitcoin. I mean, like a lot of people know
Bitcoin.
Back
then you were the first one.
Yeah, I was there. The formal one. I don't know if there were others who were hiding. Yeah. So I was the formal one. I was the one who like came out and say, hey, come, let's get together and do this. I did that single-handedly with the help of God and some friends in the US, you know, who are still my friends up to today. So I was the person who felt like this is not something to be selfish about. It's something that you can share with other people. Yeah. So, and I still continue doing that.
Would you say Bitcoin is community money or something like that? How would you brand Bitcoin?
Bitcoin is a family. It's money with swag, you know. It's beautiful. It makes you to socialize with anyone without fear. I mean, like, I cannot socialize with some millionaires right here in Botswana. I cannot even sit down on the table with them or anything. But with Bitcoin, I sit with anyone. It doesn't give labels. That's the beauty about it. When you are sitting with, you don't feel labeled. You don't feel you are broke, or you don't feel you are rich, or you feel like you are in this community of family. You are a family, like a big. That's why every time I talk, I'm on Twitter, I'm like my Bitcoin family, because it feels like family. It feels like you've got people, you've got brothers, sisters, cousins, whatever.
Worldwide.
Yeah, worldwide. So Bitcoin is a currency of love.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a currency of love. Yeah. It's a currency of love.
Perfect. I think that's the perfect ending for this interview.
Thank you so much.
So thank you very much, Alakanani.
You're most welcome.
See you soon again.
Oh, perfect. I'll definitely love to see you again.
Bye.
Bye.
That's it for today. I hope you'll join me again next week. If you like my show, please write the recommendation in your favorite podcast player. If you're a German speaker and want to start using Bitcoin, then I recommend my book to you. It gives a comprehensive jumpstart into becoming a Bitcoin user with recommendations and safety tips. You can buy it on Amazon, or if you prefer to pay with Bitcoin or Lightning, drop me a message at hello@anitaposch.com. I'm currently looking for new sponsors for my podcast, so please feel free to send me a message too. For new updates, please follow me on Twitter @AnitaPosch and subscribe to my newsletter anitaposch.com/newsletter. Thank you for listening. Music, Start With Yes, Delicate Beats. Editing by Adam B. Levine and the CoinDesk Podcast Network. Idea, content and production, yours truly, Anita Posch.